Hello, I'm Rachel Corey, and this is prophecyviewpoint.com. Today I want to talk about Judgment Day. Ooh, scary, huh? Well, it's a necessary topic. But I think by the time we finish, you will have an understanding of some things that maybe you had not grasped before. The day of the Lord, the end of this age, Judgment Day, the day when Jesus Christ will return for his own. There are several points that we are going to cover in this study, so you will have to concentrate. First of all, at his glorious return, Christ will resurrect the redeemed to everlasting life. Second, he will judge and destroy or cut off the stubbornly rebellious. They will be destroyed by fire on this day. And third, he will not judge the rest of the dead. And we're going to talk about that. Who are the rest of the dead? And we're going to talk about the Book of Life, because the Book of Life determines who is raised to everlasting life and who are cut off. So we'll talk about three groups on the day of his return: the redeemed, the wicked, and the rest. Let's just review quickly the second coming. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's Luke 21, verse 27. He comes with his angels, with power and great glory, with the sound of a trumpet, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with brightness, with noise. He comes in the glory of his Father. He comes in his own glory. He comes in flaming fire. It will be like lightning flashing from the east to the west. You know how a bright lightning is. Glory that outshines the sun. We like to sing that song. He is coming with clouds and every eye will see him. I'm going to let you go to the website and print out this study, and then you can look up all these references that I have listed for you. Acts 1, verse 11 and 12, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So he went up on a cloud and he will come back on the clouds. He's coming with clouds. Now, if you are not familiar with some of the foundational studies here at the website, then you're not really ready for this study. So please go and listen to Where Are the Dead? That one's very important. Hell, What It's Not. Millennium. The Book of Life. And Israel, the People of God. Those five studies will give you a solid foundation that you really need before listening to this study. At the end of this age, there will be a resurrection on the day when Christ returns in glory. Both the justified and the condemned will be resurrected on the same day, on the day when Christ returns. And that is a major point in this study, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 to 3. There'll be a time of distress such has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, Daniel, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. That's a resurrection. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. That's two kinds of people raised on this day. Some get everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And everlasting contempt is a forever judgment. It is a done deal. Nobody comes back from everlasting contempt. And it is the book of life. Look at this. Everyone whose name is found written in the book. The book of life determines who rises to shame and who rises to deliverance. Now, one more point about this verse. It doesn't say all who sleep in the dust of the earth. It says multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth. It leaves a little room that perhaps not everyone who has lived and died will be resurrected on that day, and we're going to talk about that. Another verse, John 5, verses 28 and 29. This is Jesus talking. Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Well, it says the hour, one single hour, one single time, two kinds of people are raised, those who've done good and those who've done evil. But it says all who are in the graves. So does that mean everyone who's ever lived is going to come up at the hour? Well, we have to put it in context that Jesus was talking to Jews about Judgment Day. And he said all of Israel. All of Israel would be resurrected to face judgment at the hour. That's because it's Yom Kippur and it was the judgment day for Israel. In context, Christ is not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Jews. So if he says all of you will come forth and be separated and be judged, then he's talking about all Israel. And of course, today, the term Israel includes everyone who has entered into covenant with God through Christ. There is a study at this website titled Israel, the People of God. I would invite you to please review that study and get it clear in your mind who is being spoken of when he uses the term Israel. Here's another verse, Acts 24, verse 15. I have hope in God, which they themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection, singular, a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So here we have one resurrection and two kinds of people coming up, the just and the unjust. The sheep and the goats, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 34 and verse 41. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, well, that's pretty clear, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. He'll say to the sheep, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And he'll say to the goats on his left, depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So this puts two groups of people being divided on the day he returns. My question would be, are there some who have lived who are not sheep? They don't belong to the Lord, but they're not goats either because they haven't yet decided. They never heard the truth. They haven't refused him, but they have not chosen him either. Will these people be judged on that day? You know, we're going to address the everlasting fire in an upcoming study called Final Judgment, Lake of Fire. Here, we're just simply trying to show that at the return of Christ, there's a judgment and there is a separation, and the wicked are judged on that day. Romans 2, verses 5 to 11. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day, one day, of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So there's that judgment again. God will repay each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Some are raised to everlasting life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Some are raised to everlasting contempt. But you have to ask, are there some who, you know, they haven't been storing up evil because they are rebelling against him or rejecting him? They've never heard of him. And they cannot be in covenant with him because they've never heard of him. Will they be raised on that day? 2 Timothy verses 4, 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So who's doing the judging? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's judging both living and dead at his appearing. This is the time of the dead that they should be judged. That's Revelation 11 verse 18. They're judged by Christ on the day he returns. Those who have died in rebellion will be raised to face judgment. But I just want to reassure you that those in Christ are already justified. They will not be judged on this day. John 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. You know, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. John 10, verse 14. John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. Don't you think he knows with whom he has a relationship? He talks to us. We talk to him. Jude 1, verses 14 and 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed in an ungodly way. Wow. Well, Jesus said he would come with his angels, and his angels would cast the tares into a furnace. Matthew 13, verse 47 to 50. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into a furnace of fire. In our study at this website titled Hell, What It's Not, there is an explanation about the gnashing of teeth. And of course, the furnace of fire is the earth, which is burned up at that day, at that time. It's also called the day of his wrath. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, Romans 2 verse 5, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, the day. He will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath on the day. Some receive eternal life, others wrath on the same day. And that agrees with our next reference. Revelation 11, verse 14, 15 to 18. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The 24 elders worship God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. Okay, seventh trumpet, last trump, time for Jesus to come. That means his wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. Okay, who are they judged by? By Christ himself. So he judges the dead, and he rewards his servants, and he destroys those who destroy the earth, all on the same day, when the seventh angel sounds. That's why we have to look at Daniel chapter 7, because Daniel chapter 7 is all about Christ receiving the dominion. It's all about that judgment in the heavenly realm. By the way, on the day of his wrath, it says he'll make a complete end of all the inhabitants of the earth, so they'll all be dead. And 2 Peter 3 verse 7 says the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Judgment and perdition. Perdition means destruction. Judgment and destruction of ungodly men happens on the same day that the heavens and the earth are burned up. Because Peter continues in verse 10 of chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will burn with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Day of the Lord, the day of God. It will be judgment day, will be the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. And remember, many of them are resurrected. They are raised to shame and everlasting contempt. On the day that Christ returns in glory, he will deliver his people, both continuously living and resurrected. He will judge and then destroy the ungodly, both those continuously living and those resurrected to face this judgment. And the wicked, of course, will be consumed along with the earth. My point is that all of this will happen on the same day. There is a study at the website titled Millennium. I would invite you to go there and to read about the trumpets and the seven last plagues. And I think you will be convinced that the earth is left desolate and uninhabited. My question here is, if the wicked are raised to face judgment and death on the day that Christ returns, is he going to resurrect them again to judge them again and execute them again after the 1,000 years of the seventh millennium have passed? I just have not found solid evidence that the rest of the dead of Revelation 20 verse 6 are the wicked who were judged and destroyed at the second coming. I think the rest of the dead are a different group of people. Let's look at some examples of the wicked who will be raised on that day to face judgment. Matthew 10, verse 14 and 15 says that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city that will not hear the words of the apostles. More tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, why? Because they had less light, less information. Now, were the men of Sodom bad men? Oh, yeah. But they did not have the information upon which to base a judgment, not like the people who were actually exposed to the Savior on this earth. Matthew 12:41. This is Christ speaking. He said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation." So they're raised at the same time. "And the men of Nineveh will condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." Matthew 12:42, "The queen of the south will rise up." That's a resurrection. She will rise up in the judgment with this generation. Well, the queen of the south lived at the time of Solomon, long centuries before the people of Christ's generation, and yet she will rise up in the judgment with that generation of Christ's day, and she will condemn it. Interesting. Queen of Sheba, people of Nineveh, resurrected at the same judgment with the generation of Christ's day. And we have read that the judgment and perdition of the ungodly takes place on the same day the earth is destroyed by fire. Matthew 11, verse 23 and 24, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven," well, they're exalted to heaven by the presence of Christ himself, "you will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the judgment, in the day of judgment, than for you." The more light you have, the more responsible you are. Mark 6, verse 11, "Whoever will not receive you or hear you when you depart, shake the dust off your feet. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Revelation 1 verse 7 says, every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him. Now, those who pierced him were the Jewish authorities. The Lord did not hold the Roman soldiers responsible for his death. They were just following orders. He prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So their sin of these soldiers as one of ignorance was forgiven. Matthew 26:64, Christ told the high priest who condemned him, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. I don't think anyone thinks that Caiaphas will be raised to everlasting life. Though really, you never know what happened to Caiaphas after Christ's death and resurrection. I mean, Paul was out there killing all the new believers, and yet the Lord forgave him because he was doing it in ignorance. So you can't really judge other people and what they're going to do. Now, just as an aside here, I want to talk about the Day of Atonement. Anciently, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was the day when Israel faced judgment, along with all of the mixed multitude. That mixed multitude came out of Egypt with the people of Israel. They wandered with them in the wilderness. They were fully aware of God and of his law. Anyone who failed to bring a sin offering prior to that day and to humble their hearts toward the Lord were cut off from the people of Israel on that day. And to be cut off was a death sentence. Well, Israel today consists of all those who have entered into covenant with the Father through Jesus Christ, were grafted into Israel. Colossians 2, we've become Israelites. And so we are the Israel who will be judged on the coming Day of Atonement. Daniel 12, verse 1 to 3, let's look again. There will come a time of distress such has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. The fulfillment of this prophecy was placed at the end of time, at the time of the end. Daniel would arise to his own inheritance at the end of these days. That's Daniel 12:13. The beast will be ruling on earth during a 1260-day or 3.5-year period leading up to the end of days. And it says in Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. So there's that book again. The book of life. And I might just point out about Revelation 13:8. Some versions read have not been written, but that's not really a necessary translation of the Greek here. Some names are not written because they've been blotted out. So this verse doesn't teach once saved, always saved. That if you get your name in the book, it'll always be there, because some names are blotted out. It's the book of life that will determine who is raised to life and who is raised to condemnation. And there's a detailed study at this website titled The Book of Life, and I would invite you to review that study. Exodus 32, verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." It might say, "Whoever has sinned against me without repentance, I will blot him out of my book." Right now, Christ does not have the authority to blot anyone out of the book. He doesn't have the kingdom yet. He doesn't have the dominion yet. That's the Daniel 7 judgment. When the dominion is given to Christ at the conclusion of the Daniel 7 judgment, in that moment, all judgment will be given to the Son. And he will then retain or blot out names from his book. In the context, if you read the context of Daniel 7, the terrible beast is ruling the entire earth when this judgment convenes. So that puts it right down near the close of this age. The context is the Daniel 7 judgment. At the conclusion of this judgment, it says, "Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom." Daniel 7:14. Okay. In the same context, Daniel writes, "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came." Well, where did the Ancient of Days come? He came to the Daniel 7 judgment. And a judgment was made. A judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Christ will share his kingdom with his redeemed. That's why a judgment for him and giving him the dominion is a judgment in favor of his saints. And when this judgment is pronounced, giving him the kingdom, giving him the dominion, it will be time for Christ to take possession of that kingdom. I might just say here that I don't think the judgment of Daniel 7 is about each one of us personally. It's about Christ. Should the dominion be taken from Satan? Should the dominion be given to Christ, the Son of Man? Well, once the judgment is decided and the pronouncement is made, then the dominion is given to Christ. Then he decides who will share that kingdom with him. And he will then retain or blot out names from his book. And he will immediately rescue or deliver his people in this dimension. Just to say once again, it's possible that some names were not written in the Book of Life because these individuals never entered into covenant. Not because they refused or resisted, but because they had no knowledge upon which to base that choice. They won't be delivered at this time, but they don't deserve everlasting contempt either. I think these are the rest of the dead, and I think they will continue to sleep in the dust until 1,000 years have passed on this earth. Just to look at a few verses about ignorance, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 and 13, Paul said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So Paul is forgiven. You know, if Paul had died on the way to Damascus before the Lord hit him with a baseball bat, so to speak, he would have died as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Does that mean he's going to come up to shame and everlasting contempt in that scenario, in that case? I don't think so. I think he would obtain mercy because he did it in ignorance. Acts 17, verse 30, truly these times of ignorance got overlooked. John 9, verse 41, Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So, refusing to see is the same as seeing and then refusing to act. There is such a thing as willful ignorance. The most important point to me is Hebrews 9, verse 7. It says, into the second part, meaning the most holy place, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. So what sins were covered on Yom Kippur? Sins of ignorance. So people who have committed sins ignorantly are covered by the blood of Christ on this Yom Kippur judgment day. And if they're covered, that means their probation continues. And to me, that means they are the rest of the dead who will wake up 1,000 years later. They are not the Lord's sheep, but they're not goats either. We've looked at several passages that tell us that all the rebellious wicked will be judged on that day, on the day that Christ returns. And we looked at other passages saying that he's going to give eternal life to those who are his, and they will be given thrones and reign with him 1,000 years. But then another group is mentioned in Revelation 20 and verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. I like the American Standard and I like the Complete Jewish Bibles because they say the rest of the dead didn't come to life. They didn't come to life at this time. Rather than saying did not live again, it sounds like they were alive at the second coming and then they'll live again 1,000 years later, which I don't agree with. I don't think they come to life at the second coming. Translations such as the New American Standard and the Complete Jewish Bible, their wording convince me that the rest of the dead on Judgment Day do not come to life. They are the people who lived all their lives in ignorance. They won't be raised to condemnation, but they're not in Christ because they've never been called, and so they're not given eternal life yet either. They may have died as children. They may have been mentally handicapped. They may just simply have lived at a time or in a place where the truth of God was unknown. Think of individuals raised in an ancient pagan culture or in a Muslim culture without exposure to Christian thought except in derision. The Jesus film ministry, which I support, testifies of thousands today who've never heard the gospel. They've never known of Jesus, the Son of God. except in derision. You know, these people might be under our very noses, raised by atheist parents, educated in atheist school systems. In the study at this website titled The Eighth Day are passages, many passages, describing people from the nations coming up to Jerusalem to learn the ways of the Lord after Israel is returned to the land. And many from these nations choose to enter into covenant with him. Of course, others will rebel, and that's the Gog-Magog battle, and we're going to take a closer look at the Gog-Magog battle in a future study. I want to make a point here. Salvation is not about keeping score. It's not about sins committed versus sins forgiven. It's about a trust relationship, which includes obedience. There's a study at this website titled Universalism. And I said that our God does not manipulate minds. He doesn't manipulate the minds of his created beings. He allows us free choice. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Only persons of adult age can make an informed, intelligent choice to repent. You know, that's why we don't punish juveniles who commit crimes as we would adults. If God would manipulate the mind of a young child admitted to his eternal kingdom to ensure that that child will not sin again, well, why didn't he do that 6,000 years ago to Adam and Eve and prevent this horrible, painful history of sin and its aftermath? I think the history of this earth is the strongest evidence that our God will not manipulate minds. That's why he cannot give everlasting life to a child. Everyone who is in his kingdom will have chosen him, will have rejected Satan. Everyone who is ultimately in his kingdom will have been tested. That is why I believe that children will be raised after the 1,000 years. They are part of the rest of the dead, along with all of those who lived in ignorance, along with those who were mentally handicapped or compromised so that they cannot make an informed, intelligent choice. It's choice, not accident of whether you happen to die as a child, that determines your destiny. Revelation 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life on that day. They didn't come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. Go to the study titled The Eighth Day at this website. Passage after passage describing Gentiles from the nations living on the earth with Israel returned to the land, Israel serving as the priests of the Lord. I hope that you will take a look at that study. You may begin to consider a different scenario for the unreached than the one most often taught. The battle for humanity is not finished at the second coming. A judgment and a cleansing will have taken place, but there will yet be millions who, because of their circumstances, they didn't have a choice. And our Savior will not abandon any created human being simply because he or she did not have the information, the maturity of age, or the intellectual capacity to choose him as Lord. And he won't manipulate minds. He must resurrect these people, the rest of the dead, to continue their lives, give them the information needed, and then allow them to choose whom they will serve as Lord. And that is the foundation of my teaching on the eighth day and the last great resurrection. I'm not going to review the summary here because I think you can print this out for yourselves. In closing, I would just say there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's Romans 8, verse 1. And Psalm 91, verse 5 through 9. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Shalom and blessings until next time. I'm Rachel Corey.